That's it, mate. No time like the present. Another day, another dollar, brother. Early bird gets the worm.
Okey-dokey, keep your dishes soapy. Here we are with another episode of the Four Man Wall, a podcast on Australian football slash soccer at its finest. I'm your host, Jashan, and joining me today is no one, because it's a bit of a solo podcast today for various reasons. Andy's playing futsal, Nick is at a football game, and Damo has only just gotten back from New Zealand and isn't quite ready to get stuck in yet, but I thought I would break down all of the action from the weekend of football in the A-League regardless, and the A-League Women's as well, and international news and whatnot. Just a quick little breakdown, bit of this, bit of that, bit of column A, bit of column B, you know, the usual. So we'll keep it short and sweet, and thanks to everyone for tuning in and all that fun stuff. But nevertheless, we'll get straight into it. So I'll rattle off the scores from the A-League weekend. Fair few games and a fair few storylines, it must be said. So the Phoenix beat the Victory 1-0. MacArthur beat Adelaide United 2-1 despite being a man down. Central Coast got the win over Western United 2-0. The Roar, trash, lost to the Jets 2-0. Sydney got up in the Sydney Derby 2-1. Melbourne City with a record-breaking 8-0 victory over Perth. And just on Tuesday, Western drew with Adelaide 3-all. So the biggest kind of story I want to start off with is the Wellington game, that 1-0 victory over Victory, which doesn't really roll off the tongue all too well, but such is life, it is what it is. I want to start from the top, and that keeps them in title contention, right up there with Central Coast, who got their win as well. They are second, the Phoenix, only behind due to wins garnered. Obviously that whole chestnut, but it must be said, even if we were on goal differential, Phoenix would still be second there at 13 as opposed to Central Coast's 18. So no one can deny that the Mariners deserve to be number one right now. But regardless, the Knicks are right there and pushing. And it was Finn Sermon, I believe his name. Yeah, Finn Sermon, the 20-year-old defender who scored a 95th-minute headed goal to win the game there for the Knicks. And it confirmed that, A, they get their records points haul in the A-League with 49 now, with a few games to go, and also confirmed their highest ever finish. They are guaranteed to be top two up there with Central Coast, and they are still in the hunt for the title, of course, which would be huge. Obviously, Italiano, Giancarlo Italiano, rookie season as a coach, undeniably has done a great job. They've got this kind of like group of young, scrappy players. The best defense in the league, thanks to guys like Finn Sermon and obviously Alex Paulson in goals, just smashing it out of the park. Fellow centre-back Scott Wooten as well has been very, very good. And they're just rigid. They're really, really strong. Really, really hard to get past. Sutton and Payne on the fullback positions there as well. Very, very talented. You got your guys like Rufa, who screens really well too. And then when they need goals, Barbarousis, Zawada when he's healthy, which is not often, unfortunately. Ben Old and Bozidar Krayev are scoring the goals for them. But regardless, a huge season for the Knicks, and they keep on rolling into the finals. And then their direct competitor, Central Coast, just untouchable right now. I'd still say the form team in the competition. You know, while Knicks are kind of scrapping their way to wins, I would argue that the Mariners are kind of looking really classy, looking really kind of solid, looking hard to beat right now. They've got so many weapons. They dominate possession typically. you know, in this game, for example, against Western, it wasn't the usual suspects. It wasn't, you know, Yangel Torres is scoring goals. It was Maxi Ballard and Christian Thiahara scoring goals. So they've got a really big squad who can always kind of chip in and get it done. If I had to pick one team to take away the title, I'm probably back in the Mariners because they look so classy right now. But if I'm going with my heart, I would love for the Knicks to make it happen for the other Kiwis down there, the NZ boys smashing out the park. That would be pretty special, I think. And as I'm talking a lot today, I will be drinking a fair amount of water. Got to keep the mouth somewhat moist. Not a fun word, but oh well. Stay hydrated, boys. I'll skip straight ahead to the big result in terms of numbers. Melbourne City 8-0 over Perth. And Vidmar, Aurelio Vidmar, the coach of the Melbourne City boys, he refer to his team as like a box of chocolates, you know, like the type of, some of them are really tasty, some of them are not so tasty, some of them are a little bit shit, some of them are like, ooh, what's that, Belgian praline, that's really, really nice, in the sense that they are just up and down all the fucking time, and that is very, very true, and I'm glad that he's willing to recognize that publicly, because Melbourne City can go from this result, this is like their third or fourth massive win of the season, to losing to teams they shouldn't really lose to. So it's a really odd one. You know, Tolga Arslan, hat-trick, first hat-trick of his career, so props to him. Nick, if you're listening, your comments on Mr. Arslan recently, not looking so hot at the moment. He's playing very good football. He's a very good player. J-Mac scored a goal, which is, you know, kind of novel these days, and Lee Natel scored two, which obviously makes me look like a bit of a fool. It's kind of the team Melbourne City are this season. They can make you look really smart and make you look really dumb from week to week. They're just super inconsistent. It's very, very befuddling. But regardless, that keeps them alive. You know, the other big storyline, obviously, like who's winning the title, but also who's going to make finals, right? And it's kind of coming down to Western Sydney versus Melbourne City for that sixth spot in the table there. Excuse me. 1 point differentiates those two clubs. Whereas Adelaide are 4 points behind City, you know, can still make it, I think. Yeah, pretty sure, pretty certain. And Western Sydney are just a point ahead of Melbourne City as well. So it looks like it's going to be between the Wanderers and the Saudi Arabian Oil Profiteers for that sixth spot. And the way things are going right now over in Wonderland, it's hard to see them getting it done. They've been pretty shocking. Overall, two losses on the trot. You don't want to lose a Sydney derby this late, you know, in the season. That could have been really huge for them if they got that done. Weren't able to get it done. Ultimately, Sydney were just a little bit too good at the end of the day. But, I don't know, Marco Redan just keeps making a bit of a fool of himself publicly. He keeps criticizing players publicly. He keeps criticizing the A-League itself publicly, and I think it's getting to the point where it's doing more bad than good when it comes to the Western Sydney Wanderers. So that's a shame, it must be said. If I were to predict Melbourne City, I would say going to make it in, just about. And with the talent they've got, who knows how far they could go all the way, which would be a little bit sneaky, but I also might be being a little bit biased to the Melbourne City fans who are my co-hosts, typically three of them, and I am the sole Brisbane Roar fan, which will bring me to that particular game. 2-0 loss to the Jets. Not great. If you are a fan of Brisbane football, Queensland football, the Ruben Zakovich era was fun for maybe 2 weeks, and then it got real bad real quick. And I think ultimately the Brisbane season can be defined by, yeah, look, Ross Aloisi's in charge, it's looking pretty cool, it's looking pretty fun, it's looking pretty exciting, and then he goes, and it's all downhill from there, ostensibly. It is cool to see guys like Waddy getting game time and whatnot. It's nice that Rubes is playing the younger guys, but it just doesn't look great. If you watch a game, it's kind of disjointed, it's not really flowing as it should, and with guys like Jay O'Shea and Florin Berenguer in there, you know, we should be able to play some pretty nice football, I would like to say, but not really happening. Meanwhile, Stamatolopoulos keeps scoring goals. Huge props. He's right there in that hunt for the Golden Boot on 16 goals, behind Taggart on 17 and Fornaroli on 18. Quite possibly the fan favourite, if you're a neutral, to see Stammo make it happen, as opposed to, you know, Taggart and Fornaroli, who have kind of been there before. But it's also, it's nice to have that kind of race, that Golden Boot race, to take us through the end of the season here. I don't know if I would put money on Stamatolopoulos to win, but I definitely want him to get it done. And for the Jets, you know, a nice win, every single point needs to be celebrated for them as they struggle to find an owner. That win, two in a row for them, probably takes them out of Wooden Spoon territory. That's probably the last battle, the last storyline coming into the season. You know, you've got the Jets, the Roar, and Adelaide kind of 8th, 9th, 10th. They're pretty locked in. Whereas Western United, sorry, my headphones just tell me that they're on low battery, so that's fun. We'll see if they can last. Whereas Western United and Perth Glory right down there, 23 points for Western, 22 for Perth. battling out for the wooden spoon, which is kind of surprising because when Perth got their new owner, it was looking pretty good, and then all of a sudden it was looking real bad. So they've got 4 losses and a draw in their last 5 games. Really, really struggling right now is Alan Stajic and his lads. Ultimately, yeah, look, you get that new owner boost, the fans are coming back, it's feeling nice off-field, but ultimately they just don't have a lot of talent outside of your Adam Taggarts. So they're still going to need a squad overhaul, I'd say, moving forward. And I'm fairly certain that the owner actually wrote an apology note to the fans for the 8-0 loss to Melbourne City, if I'm not mistaken. So the chairman, board and management wish to apologise for the performance against Melbourne City. Obviously, losing is part of competition, but to lose in that way, not really what you want at all. Shout out to my co-worker and good mate, Will, at the Near and Far Bar. Come on down if you're listening. It's a good place for beer and sport and whatnot, but he's a Perth fan and can't really be enjoying the current form of the Glory. I think the league is better off when the Glory are going well, and hopefully with this newfound ownership, they can turn things around in 2025. But for now, battling to avoid that wooden spoon. It's not looking great, unfortunately. Excusez-moi. And then, you know, in terms of the other games, not a whole lot to talk about. Western and Adelaide 3-3 draw. That was a fun game. Go and watch that if you're of a mind. Some late drama in that one with Connor O'Toole scoring a 94th minute equaliser for Western to get a much needed point, it must be said. You know, in that battle for the spoon, every single point counts. Aaron Kunda continues his goal scoring form as he preps to go off to Germany, Bayern Munich, to make things happen. Very, very exciting stuff for all Australian football fans to see Nestori going over yonder internationally and hopefully doing us all proud. That would be amazing. And yeah, that's about it in terms of the games. Obviously, if you're out there and you're listening, watch the games if you're a fan. That's what we do here, but I'm kind of more focusing on the narratives for this particular episode, the storylines, and where things are going moving forward. Just a quick little breakdown just to kind of like tie things up in a neat little bow for all of you guys and keep the content running over. So yeah, the main ones, title fight, six spot fight, wooden spoon fight, I'm calling it Central Coast, Melbourne City, and I reckon Perth are going to get the wooden spoon. Those would be my three predictions. And I think Golden Boot, I don't see anyone catching up to Fauna Rowley. I think he's just a little bit too good, and I back him in to crack that 20 goal mark and make things happen. I mentioned it earlier, Marco Rodan making a bit of a fool of himself in the media. Yeah, he wasn't super happy after losing to Sydney. Obviously, it is a huge fixture. Arguably the biggest derby in the league, it must be said, those two teams. And Rodan, he came out and he criticized someone in particular. I've got it here somewhere. I've got too many tabs open, fellas. He criticized Marcus Yunus after the 2-1 loss to Sydney FC. He's a young lad. I'll get it up now. Normally I've got Damo with all the stats ready to go. And just to be clear, Western got absolutely outplayed in this game. Again, late drama. It took 2 goals in extra time to make this happen. Zach Sapsford for the Wanderers in the 95th minute, and then Jaden Kucharski scored for Sydney in the 98th minute. Good to see the youngster making things happen. But, you know, Sydney were dominating most of the play. They had more than double Western shots, etc., etc. And Marcus Yunus is, if I find him here, number 39 for the Wanderers. He is an 18-year-old kid. Yeah, academy product. He's been a part of the system since he was 12 years old. Super raw, and he's been brought on in this game, in this huge crunch time game, derby situation. You know, it's very, very intense. And Rodan criticized Yunus for his defensive positioning in lead up to Jaden Kucharski's winner. And obviously, you know, when your players make a mistake, fair enough, point it out, but probably do that in private, I'd say. Take him aside, like, hey, you know, sort this out. Also, can he be criticized for bringing on such a young, inexperienced player in such an important fixture? I think that's a fair comment, although on this podcast, we are normally pretty supportive of, you know, coaches playing youth products and whatnot. and trying to get them that experience. But when it comes to these big games, I tend to believe that experience is more necessary, and Western do have experienced players at their disposal. But yeah, he did. Rudan backtracked. He said, "Look, that was harsh of me. That was wrong of me. Probably unnecessary to criticize an 18-year-old kid for one little moment in the 98th minute of a very, very big game with a huge atmosphere." And I think, yeah, Ruse needs to kind of temper his temper, if that makes sense. He needs to kind of keep that thing, that kind of stuff in check, and stop making all these brash comments online, because it's just getting a little bit out of hand, I think. And I'm going to drink my water. Lovely. We're going to move forward to a few cheeky little news stories. And first things first, a feel-good one, Kashini Yangi, the Socceroo and young star, he's balling out of control. He scored the winning goal for Portsmouth in a 3-2 win over Barnsley to secure the club promotion into the Championship next season. So shout out, that was his 13th goal of the season. He's playing pretty well as a winger slash striker. It was a very nice goal, look it up. It's very, very handy. And it's good to see young guys like that performing internationally and really making a name for themselves, especially in the English setup, which can be very brutal, can be very, very competitive. So keep an eye on Kashini Yangi as he continues to impress. In less fun news, Harry Kewell, the latest in a slew of Australian coaches to go over there and take on the Yokohama F. Mariners job. He's not doing as well as your Muskets and your Anges before him. And they lost their first leg of the Asian Champions League semi-final to Ulsan HD. You know, good effort to get them there, semi-final. It's not, it's nothing to scoff at, I suppose. That's very, very good. But, yeah, obviously, once you get to that position, you want to go all the way. And I think Kewell will want to turn it around. He's obviously got a second leg to do that. Plenty of time. And, you know, if Yokohama were to take that title, I think all of the struggles they've been having in the Japanese League itself would be overlooked, right? Because, you know, that's a big win. That's a huge moment. And while, for example, Yokohama came second last season under Musket, they're currently fifth. It's actually not that bad. A lot of people have been criticizing Harry Kewell, but it's really not that bad, guys. Calm down. And if they win the Champions League, huge props. Harry's doing his job. We love that. So maybe it wasn't such a bad story after all. Moving forward. Nestori Urukunda, obviously, he's on his way to Germany. Very, very exciting. And with these things kind of coming up, you know, there's focus on who's going to be the next wonderkid, right? We've got Kual. Before that, we had Arzani. Volpato. Is he Australian? Is he not? Whatever. And now Urukunda. Who's going to be the next wonderkid? We love our wonderkids in football culture. Community, whatever, footy manager, etc., all that kind of stuff. Rumor has it that the 16-year-old twins, Alexi and James Horidis, are next up. Both part of Melbourne Victory's youth setup. They're currently in Italy on Joey's duty. And rumor has it they could be on their way to Germany as well. They're going to be trialing for Bayern Munich later this month, which is kind of exciting. Could potentially join Anthony Pavlicic and obviously Urukunda over there, which would be pretty fantastic, needless to say, to have, you know, young Aussie stars playing their trade in internationally recognized academies. I think that's pretty awesome. Obviously, they're still super young, so it's too far too early to put any claims on it. But, yeah, like things like that, I think, are very exciting for Australian football as we kind of usher in the next generation of talent. And we start building around these kind of guys. It's very exciting to see as the Joeys keep doing their thing. Another quick Aussies abroad story, Cammy Devlin. His club Hearts, they're going to Europe, which is great. Devlin scored in a win over Livingston to seal a top four place in Scotland. So shout out to Mr. Devlin. He hasn't been in the Socceroos setup as much recently, but he's a very handy player. One of those central midfielders kind of in that conversation with your Neuenhoffs and your Aidan O'Neills and your Denis Jolos and et cetera, et cetera. We've got a lot of central midfielders right now, all at a kind of a similar level. You know, Nisbet's kind of the next one up, right? And these all, you know, Metcalf as well. Irvine kind of in that conversation, but probably a step above. All of these guys, we want them all to play well, so we have, you know, talent to choose from, right? We want that competition to be healthy, and at the moment it is. And if Devlin can continue to impress, then that's awesome. Also, part of that heart setup, Kai Rolls and Nathaniel Atkinson. So we got three Aussies playing in Europe next season. I believe top four, it'll be Europa League or the Conference League. I'm not too certain exactly. Oh my God, they got Neuenhoff as well, Hearts. This is ridiculous. That's almost too many Aussies in one team. That's insane. But yeah, European competition, that's great. This is another platform for these guys to impress, ply their trade, and do their thing, and grow as players. So we love that. Right. And let me see. Brandon O'Neill, former Perth Glory captain. He's linked with a return to his hometown club of Perth. Quite possibly. He was recently granted a release by the Newcastle Jets. He brings huge amount of experience and could, you know, provide some leadership to that Perth Glory locker room, which, you know, may well be needed at the moment. I'd say they also need to go out and try and find some exciting talent as well, but leaders are important within your, you know, club setup, chemistry, morale, etc. You need that, so that's great. It's good to see Perth also putting in some work early. If that move does come to pass, they're not wasting any time, they're making it happen. So that's great to see. My cam has just had a bit of a moment. That's not great. Nice silly little webcam. Is that back? Another fun story here. I'm just rattling through the news. I'm not doing any segments or anything like crazy like that. This is just a cheeky little wrap up for all of you lovely listeners. Thank you again for tuning in, if indeed you are. My webcam is doing some crazy things today. Aye, aye, aye. Fun stuff. Love you all. At Online Hub Media is the Instagram, or at foreman.wall is the other Instagram. We've got two of them. We're popping off. And www.onlinehubmedia.com is the website for all of the content. It's just a podcast, three of the grid for Formula 1 and F2 for you for Formula 2. And obviously this one, the four-man wall for all your Australian football needs. We love it. And speaking of which, Adelaide United, they've been in the wars somewhat this season. Haven't been playing as well as some people expected, although they're finding some form late in the season, which is great. And they put together a partnership with a very exciting club, PSV Eindhoven, the Dutch Giants. Which is pretty sick if you think about it. PSV, perennial contenders for the Dutch title, which is a pretty handy league. They're often in European football. Great players have come through that system. Let's look at it right now. Who are the current players? Irving Lozano plays over there. He's very, very good. Serginho Dest plays for PSV? That dude's very talented. Luke de Jong? Yeah, okay. They're a good club. They're a big club. I shouldn't need to explain why this is a big deal. But essentially, they're setting up this partnership with the aim of fostering growth and development in football. So this will offer the opportunity for young talents coming up the Adelaide kind of academy. Sorry, words escaping me in this particular moment. To go over to the campus, the Herd Gang, which is the PSV Academy, and get involved. You know, training, potentially competing, in certain European conditions, getting that valuable experience and learning, you know, from some of the best trainers in the world. So that's really, really great. We know the Adelaide Academy has produced a lot of talent recently. Obviously, Aaron Kunda, Moture, Musa Toure, I forget, there are too many Toures. God damn it. Ethan Aligic, Luka Ivanovic, who was that centre-back who left recently? Gosh darn it. Alexander Popovic, and the list goes on. Lots of young players coming through that system. So if they get the chance to go over to PSV and train with, you know, some compatriots over there, that's really, really great. Access to that network is awesome. It obviously opens the doors to potential transfers and loan moves and that kind of thing, both ways. So let's say a guy like Luka Ivanovic goes over to PSV, does really, really well. Maybe they sign him up, loan him back to Adelaide, you know, whatever, whatever. It's another way for Aussie footballers to get exposure and impress on the international level. And then on the other side, let's say there's a PSV player who's not really getting the game time that he needs, but maybe he's not good enough for PSV, but he's definitely good enough for Adelaide. We sign him on loan, Adelaide sign him on loan, or at a cut price deal, shall we say. That's awesome too. Partnerships like that can only be good for the league, so that's exciting. Love that for the boys. Hydration station. Oh yeah, that's nice. Let's talk Canberra. Not as a city. Average city. Not been there, but I've heard middling things, shall we say. It's allegedly not much to do over there. But they've been pushing for a team in the A-League men's for a while now. They've already got a team in the A-League women's. Earlier on in the year, it was very much like, this is going to happen, absolutely. Don't even worry about it. It's going to go through. And then, more recently, it's been like, well, do they actually have the funding? Is it going to get the platform they need? Obviously, Auckland are the next team up. They're coming into the league next season. And the goal was to have Canberra join the season after. And now, looks like the ACT government themselves, they're going to contribute to the club. 200 grand, along with their annual subsidy of 250 grand, which will be year by year. But the 200 grand will be for the initial 2024-25 season. That is specifically for the Liberty, just to be clear. I haven't done this very, very well in my lead-up, but that's for the Liberty side to keep them afloat, to keep them going, which is exciting. But obviously just the idea that, okay, we're getting government support here does kind of contribute to the concept of like, okay, maybe the push for a men's team isn't as much of a lost cause as perhaps a few of us thought. So, yeah, obviously we want the Liberty to be a healthy footballing league as well. That's a great sign. And if that can develop into a further franchise for Canberra, and obviously the money associated with getting another license into the A-League, good for the APL, I guess. And another team means more chances of professional players getting their opportunity to impress and do their thing. And hopefully with the NSD coming through, will give us just more things to talk about in the wonderful world of Australian football. And I'll segue that onto a story coming out of the Phoenix in the Liberty. Record A-League women's transfer. Macy Fraser, the New Zealand international, has been sold to NSWL side, the Utah Royals, for a six-figure fee. I don't know what it is exactly, but we know it is a record. 21-year-old woman, very, very talented, bit of a gun, and moves like this show the growth of the A-League Liberty itself and the women's game in general, as more and more like larger fees get spent around, and that's as it should be, and hopefully pay gaps close, and so hopefully one day, we see women's players getting paid as much as they should, step by step. And on that, we are in the business end of the A-League Liberty season. Now we're into the semi-finals. The eliminations have played out. The Newcastle Jets beat West United 4-2, and Central Coast beat Victory on Pens. So we've got Central Coast versus Sydney in a bit of an NSW derby in semi-final number one. And over yonder, we've got Melbourne City playing the Newcastle Jets. So that's your top four teams in the A-League Liberty there. Going to be a two-leg situation for these games, if you guys don't know. It plays out over the next couple of weekends. And the grand final will be played out on the 4th of May. Star Wars Day will be the grand final of the A-League Liberty. So those four teams, you got first and second with Sydney and City. And Central Coast and Newcastle came 5th and 6th, respectively. For Melbourne City, they won the premiership. They've been the form team of the season. Real good squad, real good unit, play good football. Sydney, they got their stars with your Courtney Vines, banging in goals for fun. Central Coast, I don't know too much about, unfortunately. And Newcastle Jets, it's all about Serena Boland. She is a gun. The 27-year-old from the United States. 14 goals in the league and 9 assists, led the league in assists. Lauren Allen, very, very helpful as well for that team. So, yeah. Follow that, see what happens. Melbourne City look odds-on favourites, but obviously Sydney with players like Vine make it happen, and you never know. It's the finals. Knockout stages. Things go crazy. We shall see, and we'll keep you guys updated on how that goes over there in the Liberty. I'm going to finish up with this rather cheeky story coming in from the Central Coast Mariners, who are on their way back from their AFC Cup match against Odisha. No. They had already beaten Odisha. They've made it to the interzonal finals. The AFC Cup is very, very confusing. Against Abdish Atta Kant, I'm going to assume. Which is, from what I can tell, essentially these semi-finals, right? Yeah. Yeah, there's zonal finals and there's interzonal finals, and then the winner of both zonals play in the final. So Central Coast are playing Abdish Atta Kant in the interzonal finals. 1-1 draw was the first leg there, which played out yesterday. And over on, in the zonals, it's so ridiculous. I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face. It's just very, very confusing. Obviously, because Asia is a very large place, and Australia is not even in Asia, but we're in the Asian Champions League and the Asian Federation Cup. I don't know what that actually stands for, AFC. There's a lot of crossover. So Al Ahed play Al Nahda in the zonal finals, and Central Coast, if they can make it happen, the interzonal finals will make it to the grand final. That's too many words. I know. But regardless, on their flight back, no cheese, brother. They must have flown Jetstar because their flight out of Kyrgyzstan cancelled. Not happening. Unfortunately, which is not what you want to see when you've got league football to be playing against Adelaide this weekend. It was going to be on Sunday. It's been postponed because the Mariners are currently stranded in Kyrgyzstan. In Bishkek. So, you know, hopefully they have some fun out there and have a chance to do some training and whatnot and whatever it is they need to do. Because the Mariners, obviously, they're in that race for the title. They want to come home and get that done so they can get that Premier's plate. And being stuck in a different country is not going to help them do that. But Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan, population, don't know, 976,000 people. Good amount of people. And lots of monuments over there, apparently. Lots of cultural institutions. National Historical Museum. That sounds great. So hopefully, you know, some of the lads, like your Nisbets and your Angel Torreses, can get out there and do some sightseeing. Maybe have some fun. And relax before they come home and try and win that title. I don't even know. It's just a very odd situation. Hopefully they come back home soon. And that's pretty much the wrap up here, fellas and fellettes and everything, everyone in between. We're going to come back properly in the next few weeks with the full wall, hopefully, or at least a little bit more full than just little old me prattling on in front of a webcam and saying not much of substance, but I've tried my best. I hope you guys have liked it. Again, follow us on all the thingamabobs website, www.onlinehighmedia.com. I appreciate you guys. Legends, let's get that push to 500 followers on Instagram. We're very, very close now. And yeah, this has been the Four Man Wall. Thank you all. What Jed Aloisi does instead of actually coaching, he just tells stories about that penalty over and over and over again.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they just do penalty practice, right? At training, and that's it. Who knows?